star.
You're gonna sing with us, right? Okay, good.
Oh my goodness, I get to sing with Madeline Kack. Stand by me.
I'm ready.
Stand by me.
I'll stand over here.
Oh, dang it.
I wanna look.
You guys can stand together. I think that'd be better.
Okay.
Yeah, see, boy, girl, boy. There
okay.
you go.
Okay.
Way cooler.
Hey, you have to come
here.
No, you have to be seen.
Steps 40. Well, we passed that mark, so. People are still coming in. Should we play the theme song but not sing it? You just want to have music for them?
Maya is safe.
Okay.
So gets them in the, gets them to tune in.
Okay. So who wants to do the welcome? Hey, everybody.
Please all people sit down back there.
Welcome you guys. Our first song is Mighty to Save.
Yeah.
If you guys could stand up, we're gonna get started.
Yeah.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Hope of nations. God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me. All my fears and failures. Mighty to save, forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Next one is God of Wonders.
You may be seated.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and the sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. Universe declares your majesty, you are holy.
Stand for our theme song. my life
I lay it down at the cross where I am found. All I have I give to you, my God. Take my hands and make them clean. Keep my heart in purity, that I may walk in all you have for me. Oh,
thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the beautiful place that we have to live, and thank you that the spring is coming and it's beautiful outside. Lord, please send your Holy Spirit to be in this place and work in our hearts, and Lord, please help us to hear the message that you have planned for us tonight. Thank you so much that we have a wonderful speaker here to talk to talk with us and share you with us. And Lord, please open our eyes to the message that you have to share. Thank you for your love and for taking care of us. Amen.
Amen.
Take that.
Good evening. Yes, yes, it is a good evening. You guys enjoyed this morning's talk from Pastor Stephen. I got a pop quiz for you guys. Where is Pastor Stephen from? Okay, that was pretty easy. Where was Pastor Stephen born? Okay, that was pretty easy too. Now, how long have I known Pastor Stephen? I've known Pastor Stephen since college. And you know, I want to share with you guys every time I'm up here as I introduce Pastor Stephen, a little fun fact to know and tell. And did you know that in college there's a lot of crazy things you do? But I'm not going to talk about college. Just to spare some embarrassment on my part. But I was standing there tonight listening to our musicians. Thank you guys so much. Praise God for you using your gifts tonight. And out of the corner of my ear, I could hear someone harmonizing. You guys know what harmonizing means, right? Yeah. Singing on pitch, a third above, a fourth below, whatever it might be. And it was Pastor Stephen. And I was like, "You sing?" But then I thought, oh, yeah, of course you sing, because you sang in my wedding, which I much, much appreciated. He was one of my groomsmen. He sang with one of our other friends, and he stood the test. So much appreciated you being with us tonight. Come on up here. I meant to do this morning, but I was too excited to have you here with us. But let me have a prayer with you for your week of ministry here with us. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again and praise you for this beautiful day that you've given us. We want to thank you for sending us Pastor Stephen and his ministry. I pray that you would be with him as he speaks this week, as he interacts with each of us. May you be shown through him. I pray that you'd be with his lovely wife, Kendry, back at home as they're separated this week. And also be with Norman, his four-legged child, that you would help Norman to not miss Stephen too much. So we pray for a wonderful blessing tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, John. Thank you.
Norman is his doggy.
Oh, what a good day. What a good day. I gave away so many Oreos. Some of you took advantage of the situation. And you thought to yourself, look, he's meeting 200 people at the same time. He'll never know if I just jump back in line again. Using a different name. Some of you did this. You know who you are. You know who you are. Oh, that was so much fun. Someone came up to me after a week of prayer, and they said, oh, you inspired me so much. You inspired me so much. And I was like, oh, that means a lot. That means a lot. And he was, I won't tell you who it was. I won't tell you who it was. He said, you inspired me so much. I'm going to go out and find me a girlfriend now. And he was so excited. So ladies, beware. Beware. Someone's been inspired. Oh, man, all the way from Portland. Someone has someone in Portland that loves them, and I don't know if I met you. Kyle Armstead? Is Kyle Armstead in the house? Kyle, come up here. Where's Kyle? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Oh, man, there's this whole, like, little gift bag with all sorts of different foods inside of it that I brought all the way from Portland. It's not from me. I think you'll figure out who it's from once you get into it. It is. It is. So enjoy that. Enjoy that. That's fantastic. Oh, what a good day. Lunchtime, some people came and picnicked outside with me. Who are my picnic people? There they are. There they are, still together after all these hours. That's fantastic. This afternoon, oh, boy, is there a good senior class on this campus. Three classes of seniors. Ah, that was so much fun. Thank you for letting me come to your classes today. It was good. It was good. And how about the music? I'll tell you what, I specifically requested that song, that theme song that we're doing. Here I am, arms open wide. I am yours, and you are mine. Powerful words. And man, you can sing. You can sing. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. If you would oblige me, I'd like to pray one more time. Tonight I'm going to share what is a story that's very close to my heart. So let's just pray once more. God, ask for a miracle tonight. Ask that you do something that only you can do, that you break through into our lives tonight in new ways. In Jesus' name, amen. The pastor had just started his prayer. We were sitting in a large circle, and behind me I could hear the sound of the ocean. In front of me I could hear the sound of the bonfire crackling. And he was about halfway through his prayer when I heard another voice. And the voice said, "I can see Satan in the fire." There I was praying, and I opened my eyes. And I looked down the little row of little people that were sitting next to me. I was up in Alaska at summer camp, and I was the camp counselor, and I had 8 little campers. I think they were about 11 or 12 years old. And they were all sitting there on that log, and I looked down trying to figure out who had said that, and nobody was moving, and no one had their eyes open, so I just assumed, well, I'm probably, nah, it couldn't have been. So I closed my eyes again, and we continued the prayer, and the pastor was still praying, and I heard the same voice say the same thing. "I can see Satan in the fire." The prayer ended, and we were dismissed back to our cabin. You see, this camp is called Camp Lorraine, and it's located on this island. In fact, it's really the only thing on the island as far as I know, and it's actually out in the ocean. From time to time, some orca whales will swim by where we take the little children water skiing, so it makes it very, very exciting. And there's a central area where you have sort of your bathhouses and the place where you eat and cook and all of this. And then if you journey down the shoreline just a little way, you find these little A-frame cabins. And we started journeying our way back to the boys' village. And as we went along, I made a note to myself, you know, follow up with Josh a little bit later on. Find out why he's talking during prayer, and specifically why he's saying the things that he is saying during prayer. And before I could even tuck that note away in my mind, one of my other campers said, fairly innocently, really, "Hey, does anyone have any mosquito repellent?" As this mosquito, the size of a hummingbird, comes and flies down onto his shoulder. And Josh, the same one who had spoken during the prayer, goes up to my camper, and he has this massive, massive jar of mosquito repellent. And he goes up to my camper, and he says, "You want mosquito repellent?" Starts shaking it. He's like, "I'll give you mosquito repellent." And he holds it up to his face, about 6 inches away from his face. And he pulls the trigger for about 10 seconds. And I'm going, "Josh, stop it. Stop it." Before I can get him to stop that, he finds an apple on the ground, picks it up, and pitches it as hard as he can at another one of my campers. It zips by his head, just barely missing. "Josh, stop it. Stop it." We get back to the boys' village. The guys are getting ready for bed, and I'm rehearsing the speech that I have for Josh. And I realize it's one of those moments where I'm about ready to sound like my mom or my dad. Those moments you promise will never happen, but here it comes. He's getting a speech. But before I can give my speech, he comes to me, and with this innocent smile, he says, "Stephen, I've got to use the bathroom." I said, "Josh, you think you can hold it? It's only 8 hours till breakfast." No, I didn't say that. And I said, "Are you serious, Josh? We were just down at the bathrooms. There's no bathrooms in the village." He's like, "I really got to go." And I said, "Fine, we will go." And so we begin walking back down to the campfire area, back where the bathhouses are. And as we walk, Josh asks a question. I said, "Stephen, why did God allow Satan to live? Why not just wipe him off the planet and be done? Start again?" And by now I'm starting to kind of warm toward Josh a little bit. A little boy with a good strong question. And I start explaining to Josh that it's Satan that likes to use control and it's God that likes to give choice. And I'm explaining this as we walk, and it's one of those moments where I'm feeling really good. This is real life ministry that's happening. And we get back to the bathroom area, and I say, all right, Josh, go in, hurry up. I'm going to wait outside, and we'll head back together. And he looked at me, and he smiled that smile again, and he said, I don't have to go to the bathroom. What? He says, no, I just wanted to go for a walk. And so we turned around for the 5 to 7 minute walk back the other direction toward the boys' camp. We got halfway back to the camp, and Josh turned to me again, this time with a statement. He turned to me, this 12-year-old boy, and he said, Stephen, I have Satan inside me. Scripture tells us very clearly. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against other people. And it was a week ago today. It was a week ago today at the finish line of the Boston Marathon, a place, by the way, that Pastor John has had the privilege of running through. Right there in a place that if you've ever been to a race before, you know that that's where families gather. It's the moms, the dads, the children. And in this place, of all places, not one but two bombs go off. And as the story unfolded last week, I was drawn on into this story. And then that moment came where they saw the man who planted the bomb. And they saw that he actually took a bomb and placed it at the feet of an 8-year-old boy. And you realize that it's just so evil. And something grows inside of us toward a person like this, a person who would commit such a senseless and heinous crime. But Scripture says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What you are seeing take place, what you saw happen 1 week ago today, was just a symptom of a much greater disease. What you saw happen a week ago today is simply one small battle that gives evidence of a much greater war. Scripture says our struggle is not against humans. It's not against flesh and blood. Instead, it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Sometimes, perhaps often, the things that we cannot see are much more real than the things that we can see. I have Satan inside me. I turned to that little boy. I said, Josh, you need to pray. You need to pray. And he turned and he looked at me and he said, I can't. He said, every time I try to pray, my throat gets tight right here. He said, it's almost as if the devil doesn't want me to pray. We continued our journey back. We got back to the boys' camp area, and I rushed up to the pastor who happened to be outside of our cabin. And I quickly downloaded the whole story to him. And he looked at me and he said, Stephen, we are in a place where there are very few Christians. Something like 10% of all the campers we had that week were Seventh-day Adventists. 90%. The Holy Spirit's trying to break through on 90% of this camp. He's trying to win people over to the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. And he said, there is a battle going on right here in front of us. We looked out, and by this time, Josh had dropped down on all fours, and he was crawling around, not like you'd expect a little boy to crawl around, but instead, his hands were balled up like little fists, and he was crawling around, and he would glare at us, and he would growl. The pastor began to pray out loud. I stood there not knowing what to do. If you've ever been to Alaska, you know that it remains light for a long, long time in the winter, or in the summer, excuse me. And this was one of those long, long days, and as the pastor prayed for just a couple of minutes, pretty soon he turned to me and he said, Stephen, here's what we're going to do. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to gather all of the staff from the camp. And I want you to stay with Josh. Don't let him out of your sight. Don't let him get lost in the woods. The pastor took off to gather the staff, and I grabbed one other staff member. I was like, no way, man, you're with me, let's go. And we started following Josh. We didn't want to follow him so closely that he felt like he was being chased. We didn't really want him to rush up into the woods. We wanted him to stay along the shore. But at the same time, we didn't want to drop back so far that we would lose him, and so we just sort of observed from a distance, and when he would run, we would walk quickly. When he would stop, we would stop. We got back to the area where the campfire was, and from time to time he would look at us and he would just growl. He wouldn't say any words, and he ran across the field and he stomped on that fire, that same fire where he had said just about 40 minutes before that he had seen Satan. I remember that he continually climbed up on this ledge. It was about 5 feet tall where we stored the wood to build our bonfires, and he'd climb up there, and then he'd jump off, and he'd climb up again, and he'd jump off again. He'd climb up again and jump off over and over and over again, and at one point, he crouched behind that pile of wood, and he looked out at me, and we made eye contact, and his eyes were dark. His eyes were cold. Later, he would tell me that when all of this was happening, when he would look out, all he saw was fire. Everything looked like fire. The trees, the water, everything. He said, I look like fire, everything. And I was making eye contact with him, and we're praying out loud. God, do something. Do something. He continues to run around. At one point, he ran across this field, and there's this really friendly camp dog that thought he was playing, and the dog sort of went running after Josh, and Josh turned around and looked at the dog and went, ah, and the dog ran away. We continued to pray. He rushed down next to the water, and he found a large log, and he picked it up, and he threw it over his head. Eventually, the pastor came back out, and by this time, Josh had gone under the main lodge, and he was underneath looking out at us, crawling around, glaring and growling. And the pastor did something that at the time I thought was strange in the sense that I would have never thought of it. He began to sing. And so we joined in. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never, ever, ever, ever lose its power. And then we'd sing the next song, and the next song, and the next song. And it changed my life. Sometimes the way we think about God, our theology changes in an instant. And my theology changed in an instant. Because you see, there was a time where I thought of the singing as sort of the appetizer. You know, it's just kind of the before part, the sermon. why the sermon is the main event. It is the main entree. And before we do that, we have to have an appetizer, some artichoke and cheese dip, or maybe, you know, something like this, some onion rings. So we kind of sing and get everybody to come together, and then we get, no way. I told these, as these musicians were getting ready tonight, I went up to them and I said, this is my favorite part. The singing is my favorite part. Singing is just as important as the word being spoken. It's our prayer to God. It's just as much worship as when we open our Bibles together. And the reason my theology changed so drastically that night was because Josh would later tell me, he said, every time you sang another song, the devil had to leave me just a little bit more. What? Every time we sang a song, the devil had to leave you just a little bit more. And finally it hit me. Because Jesus says that he inhabits the praise of his people. And so when we sing, we are building this palace, and Jesus shows up. And guess what? When Jesus shows up, Josh would want you to know, the devil has to leave. We continue to sing these songs, and one of the great ironies, if you want to call it that, of the whole thing was that as we were singing, he was under this lodge area, and I would later find out that right above him, he had no idea, he was just under the crawl space underneath, right above him were a circle of staff members, right above him, praying over him, pleading out to God for him. God, do something in Josh's life tonight. Change him tonight. Change him tonight. And right underneath, there's Josh. There's Josh. Eventually, he came out from under there, and he started running back toward camp, so the three of us now followed him back to camp. He found our cabin, and as he was running back to our cabin, he was having to kind of go back and forth, because outside of every cabin were little groups of his friends. Remember what I said, 90% of them, no Christian background. Groups of his friends, what were they doing? They were praying. They were praying for Josh. He's having to run around the people that were praying for him on his way back to our little A-frame cabin. He gets to our cabin, and by this time it's getting dark. It's been about 45 minutes to an hour since he's said anything to me. He's simply been growling this whole time. He runs into the cabin, and the door slams behind him, and it's dark. And the camp director, also the pastor, takes off his headlamp, and he hands it to me. And he says, you go in. So I went up those stairs, and I opened the door. And I looked inside. And I shone the light around and I couldn't see him. Now the cabins have this little ladder that goes upstairs. And I thought, well, maybe he's upstairs. But I had a little bit of a closer look. And I saw him. He was on the floor on his stomach underneath the bottom bunk. So he's laying under the bed. And he's just looking out at me. The other two guys came in. And we went over close, and the pastor and I and the other counselor sat down on the floor in that little cabin. And the pastor said to Josh, Josh, say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated by this tonight because Scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because, here's why you've overcome. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Spoiler alert, Jesus wins. I've tried to adjust my prayers and it's still really hard for me. Because over and over again in Scripture, it says that God dwells in us. And so I'm trying my best to quit praying, God, please be with me today. Please just be with me. Be with me. And God's going, hello, I am in you. How much closer could I be? And I'm just, oh, just be with me today, be with me. And God's like, I'm inside of you. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And by the way, the scripture does not say, and someday you will overcome. Too often as Christians, we go around with our faces down to the ground and say, oh, someday things are going to get better. Someday we'll overcome. In that sweet by and by, yes, yes, and yes, but Jesus says we already have overcome, not because we're so great, but because he dwells inside of us. For the first time in about an hour, 12-year-old Josh spoke. And it wasn't a poetic prayer. It wasn't long. But it's the most powerful prayer I've ever heard. And it's a prayer that you can memorize tonight. And it's a prayer that I believe God answers. Here was his prayer. Jesus. What about the Lord's Prayer? And what about praising God first and thanking him for that? And, you know, Jesus. And for the first time in an hour, he relaxed. He regained his voice. We took hold of his hands right there on the floor of the cabin. And we prayed with him, we prayed for him, we prayed over him. I didn't sleep much that night because I realized that I was forever changed. Because what I had heard growing up, what I had heard here at UCA, what I had been taught in my classes, what I had read in Scripture about this controversy, this cosmic conflict that is going on, I realized for the first time in my life, and it took me 19 years, that it's actually true. It's actually true. Now, I want to be very real with you. In my classes, we call this real talk, so we're going to have some real talk for just a minute. I always struggle with this story. I always wonder, is this a story that I should share? But of course, there are some people that will walk out going like, well, maybe that happened. Some of you will walk out going like, oh, yeah, another one of those kind of stories. Some of you will walk out scared. And so I always struggle with a story like this, but here's why I tell it. Here's why I tell it. I tell it because it's my testimony. I tell it because that was the first time in my life that I knew 100% sure that I had a choice to make. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The line was drawn in my life that night, and I had to choose. If you leave tonight thinking that I'm trying to motivate you by fear, you've missed it, because fear is a really good motivator short term. Short term. It'll motivate you for a day. Maybe we could get a whole week. Oh man, I should probably pray tonight because that was scary. Okay, that's not the point. That's not the point. Don't miss it. Instead, I hope that you leave tonight motivated by the grace of God, motivated by one who doesn't want to simply be near you, but wants to actually dwell within you. I want you to leave being drawn tonight to the one who has already overcome the world. Because you see, the most important thing is to keep the most important thing, the most important thing. And the most important thing is Jesus, the one who came, who died, who rose again, victorious. As for me and my house, we choose Christ. I want to pray with you, Father God, these students. What a privilege you have given me to be out in the middle of the wheat fields talking about important things. Thank you so much, God. Thank you that there is not a student in this room who does not have a story of who you are and a story of the way that you have shown up in their lives. Jesus, tonight I choose you. I ask that you would dwell within me. And perhaps you are calling some of these students to make that same decision. And if you are, God, tonight as they lay down to go to sleep and as they reflect back on their day, may they invite you to dwell within them. Thank you, Jesus, that you have overcome. It's in the power of your holy name we pray. And everybody said, amen.